Okay, so I believe this is lesson number 44. I have a problem with keeping track of these, meaning that I have notes from previous week, but sometimes I don't write down the numbers. So I believe last week was number 43. If somebody sees anything different, let me know. We'll correct that. We are in the book of Numbers today primarily. 6 months ago, what were you doing? I suspect it was totally different than what you do today. No doubt this pandemic has become an inconvenience. I believe it's part of our wilderness journey. And that's primarily what we're talking about when we look at the book of Numbers. I think we have to be very careful that we are not like those who went through that wilderness journey and lost their lives because primarily of their mistrust in the Lord and their murmurings and their whining. I like the word whining a little bit better because I think it's even lower than the other word. But certainly we've been confronted with things. It's on the news. It's in our face every day. It's on Facebook. It's here, there. Very negative. We live in a very negative, I would not call it the United States. We're very ununited. And I'm not here to talk about politics and so forth today. I want to focus on spiritual things. And the thing that comes to my mind of all things, and this you may not agree with this, or you may not necessarily see what I'm referring to here, but what I'm going to do is begin by reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. And I'm doing this because I think this is part of Paul's journey. And his life in the early Acts, up until the ninth chapter of Acts, wherever he was, whatever he was doing, was his, what I would call his exodus. And purely by grace, God called him, appeared to him, and called him to a different calling, which changed his life. And from that point on, although he was confronted with many physical things or the tangible things of this world, whether it was starvation, whether it was shipwreck, whether it was being beaten for being a good person or for preaching truth, all of those things were minimal to him because of what he had come to understand in Christ. And the Lord was very wise when he chose the Apostle Paul as the one who was going to deliver much of what we have in the Scriptures today that are meaningful to us. And if you go back to the time of Numbers and Deuteronomy, you will see a similar pattern with Moses and how he was treated, and he was called for a specific reason. In fact, we will get to this, probably not this week, but I think we're going to look at a few things concerning the fact that he was not called an apostle. Moses was not called an apostle, but he was sent by God, which is the word apostello, which has to do with the fact that he was apostled to do something. We think of him perhaps as a prophet, but not as an apostle. And so because of the fact he's not called that, we'll leave it at that. But his apostleship, if I can call it that, was challenged by the others who came out of Egypt. And that was a key to the wilderness journey. And the key to our wilderness journey has to do with whom was sent by God for us to respect the things that he wrote, and that would be the Apostle Paul. The Lord himself was called an apostle, and he was sent from above. We'll read scriptures concerning that. I think what we'll do in another lesson is look at Moses, Christ, and Paul, all three of those being sent as similar to the apostleship that we read of in scriptures. So that in itself is important to understand, I believe, because of what we will go through in our lifetime and what we wrestle with in the sense that there are many denominations, some of which have no desire to recognize the Apostle Paul as one who has truth for us today. Rather, the apostleships, there are those who believe that the apostleship belongs to the 12 and primarily to Peter, and so on and so forth. But yet, without the writings of Paul, this book would be totally, totally confusing. So anyway, I'm wandering on here. Let's go to, Philippians chapter 3, and let's begin in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. The problem with the children of Israel going through the wilderness was their flesh. The problem with us in our wilderness journey is our flesh. Paul came out of the Acts period with a tremendous amount of truth. He came out of the law. And it was, the law was not the problem. The problem was his flesh, and he speaks of that in the book of Romans. And so there's much to be said denominationally about things concerning the law and so forth and the flesh and whatever. But Paul is going to take a different stance now as we read this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Now, Paul's going to talk about the law, and because of that, some people would say, well, this book does not fit in with Ephesians and Colossians in the latter seven, so it certainly should not be part of that. But Paul is talking about something that was the major subject of the day, and that had to do primarily with coming out of the law and the people that he spoke to, primarily Jews initially. Now we're turning to Gentiles, and this was a message for all of them. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He was, there was something like 13 different sects of Pharisees, and he was of the most strictest one. So that just, once again, points to the fact how religious he really was and how zealous he was for what he considered truth. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That's how zealous he was. He was willing to kill over the subject. That's how, I'm going to use the word evil, things can become, and I dare use the word denominationalism, but people become, actually become haters of others. And we have to be careful of ourselves. We certainly would not want to admit it, but does it ever bother you that somebody believes different from you? If it is, that's not the spirit that we read of in Galatians that has been, the new man has been given to us. And that list of things that have to do with the flesh are bitter. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So it was not the law itself that was the problem. It was the fact that he was doing this in his own flesh. And he admits that in those several chapters there in the book, right in the middle of the book of Romans. He was, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dumb, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So here we see things that are associated with his journey, his time in the wilderness, and he's coming out. He has come out of that wilderness. He began to come out of it during the Acts period and all the truth that was revealed there. But now he's going to take a step further, and things are going to be revealed to him that was revealed to no other person on this planet, and that what we have in his writings, and some of his writings have been kept completely secret before the foundation of this planet, before creation itself. And here was a man that had all of these things writing upon his back. We're going to see the same thing with Moses. I think the thing that I'm enjoying about going through this study is watching Moses mature. And if you go back to the beginning of his beginning of the meetings with the Lord, when he said, "Lord, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm not a good speaker." And the Lord was frustrated with him. And if I can use that term in the presence of the Lord, is frustrated in the sense that he wouldn't trust him. And he gave that duty over to Aaron. And so it was that here was a Moses matured as you go through the book of Numbers, particularly when he leads those people through the wilderness. And he himself is affected very much by it and took a lot of patience. But you can see on several occasions the Lord tried him and tested him. And we'll read one of those today. And you can see how he had matured through those things. So the good news is that, the bad news is that we go through a wilderness journey. The good news is that we can ride in the arms of the Lord himself and walk through that journey with great confidence and with great rejoicing in our heart for the things that the Lord is protecting us from. So when we get to, when we read a few more verses here in Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now here's a part of the wilderness that we're not interested in, and that's suffering, no doubt. But not just merely suffering for suffering's sake or for mistakes we've made. Here we're talking about the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ that Paul was experiencing. That's something that's very important to understand when we go through these, through our time of wilderness. Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means. So the subject matter becomes overcoming. Or can we become an overcomer? Because there were two overcomers, actually three I'm going to mention, three overcomers during the journey in the wilderness. We know of Caleb and Jacob, and then of one who was not of the 11 tribes. He was a Levite, and that was Eliezer. And he survived the wilderness and went into the book of Joshua with Joshua. And anyway, that's what the book of, or what the wilderness journey really is all about, overcomership. And if that is a ratio of two in 600,000 people plus that survived, and we're talking about those who were of warfare that we've talked about in the last few weeks, so the ratio is like 1 to 300,000. If that says anything about what we're reading here in Philippians, if that was a true ratio, you can see that there's very few people who will attain unto the things he's going to speak about here. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection of the dead. That's not part of our study this week. That's a different study. We may take up the book of Philippians just as a result of going through this wilderness journey in the Old Testament. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, that is, finished, he's at the point of finishing his course, or he speaks of that, not that he is at that time, although in his mind, he was in a position now that whether it was gain to die or whether it was gain to go and to be in the presence of the Lord, and I'm not talking about the sense that we think of that today, but that was what he was confronted with. He says, but I follow after that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended. Trying to get hold of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He had not apprehended. He had not held on to this yet. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. So here are the key words for our wilderness journey. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And in this case, that the biggest deal for him was letting go of not only what he had during the Acts period, I mean, what he let go at that point, but now he's even letting go of more, a hope and calling that was associated with that. And I think we read a few weeks ago in, was it 2 Timothy? Let me just look here real quick. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, when Paul said, verse 3, I thank my God whom I serve away from my forefathers. Not from my forefathers, but away from them. These were things that his forefathers did not understand. All those Jews before him did not understand. I thank him whom I serve away from my forefathers, because now he had a new hope and calling which was associated with the heavens and so forth. So I believe these words hold true as to what he speaks up here in the book of Ephesians, or I'm sorry, in the book of Philippians. And let me just finish that, a couple of verses here in Philippians. Get back to it. Sorry, lost my place. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Once again, speaking of the attitude of being an overcomer. So he had his emphasis now was focused on something else. So we have, I think, this something similar to be concerned about in our journey, and that is being focused on what we have and not looking back, similar to the way that Israel did. They looked back to Egypt. What we might be looking back to has to do with the challenges and the times in our life that we're confronted with things that we have to look and put our trust in the Lord and put our entire whole trust in the Lord and not look back beyond that. So anyway, having said that, let's go back to Numbers chapter 12. I woke up this morning with the thought that I had a study to do, and I thought I had it all put together, and I changed my mind at the last moment and decided perhaps we should read chapters 12 through 16 before we finish up this portion of our lesson. And I thought I'd start in 12 now. This is a sample, a powerful sample, I believe, of what happened in those wilderness journeys. We may not go through chapter 15. 15 in itself has to do with a lot of the commandments and so forth that, although important, is not associated with the intent of what I'm talking about here. So we're going to go through these four chapters, or whatever number it's going to be, beginning in chapter 12. It's going to teach us some lessons. I think we're going to see some things that, some important things that we're going to find also in the New Testament. That those who were the leaders, they were called heads. In some cases, they were heads of the tribes. They were responsible for passing the word that came to Moses. The word was given to Moses, and then he passed it on to the people, and he passed it on to the heads of the tribes, and everything went according to what those men said. And so many times in their unfaithfulness, when they were confronted with something, those heads of the tribes discouraged their own people. And as a result, I mean, the final end result is that none of those people made it out of the wilderness. And everything they did was discouragement. And they turned against Moses. And we're going to see that in these passages of Scripture here, and how important that was. And when we look at, and when we bring it up to focus into our own generation today, we point to the Scriptures that were given to the Apostle Paul and only to the Apostle Paul, and we see something similar there. And we find out there's many who had come into some truth who disagreed with Paul, and particularly toward the end of his life, they disagreed with him, and things began to fall apart, so to speak. And so we're going to see a comparison, I believe, between what happened there in that wilderness journey and what I'd call the last few years of Paul's wilderness journey. So let's begin in chapter 12, and we're going to do a lot of reading. I've been told that some people like to hear the reading part and for me to keep my mouth shut and not say too much, and I agree with that. Some people may not like to hear the reading part. I don't know if you remember someone by the name of, now I've got to think for a minute, J. Vernon McGee, and he had a program that he ran for 5 years at a time. He started with Genesis 1:1 and ended in the last in the book of Revelation, verse by verse over a five-year period. I met him several years ago before he passed away, just for a moment, briefly, and had a few words with him. I will say this guy was extremely faithful to what he believed, and his messages most of the time were just right on, and I commend him for his faithfulness and for the things that he did. But he took verse by verse in the Bible, and Oscar did that a lot. He took a book and went through it verse by verse, and so there's certainly it's certainly healthy. It takes longer, and you don't. Sometimes you may not get the big picture; you get the more specific, detailed picture. Let's begin, chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. So who's Miriam? Notice her name comes first. Miriam is Moses' sister. So, and let me hold a finger here for a moment. I'll turn over to chapter 16, and we read here. Now Korah, the son of Ishmael, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and da-da-da-da-da. You can see that chapter 12 and chapter 16 start off with a person's name, and this so happens to be the cousin of Moses and the cousin of Aaron. So if you think about that a little bit, it's like, well, his own family turned on him. And here in chapter 12, it's Miriam, his sister, and she seems to be the antagonizer here because she's listed first. It says, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Egyptian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now we'd have to go back into the book of Exodus and get some of that. And then it certainly could, when you read it, if you question it, why did he choose this one? And her father was a priest, if you remember that. And what we see here is we may not have answers for, but the Lord knew what he was doing. And he brought, you know, put that whole situation together there. And he married an Ethiopian woman, and he had children by her. And it just has nothing to do with what she believed or what she didn't believe. But, I mean, she certainly witnessed, I'm sorry, I'm going to separate Miriam and his wife. And so anyway, Miriam, his sister, for some reason, and if you go back, I'm sorry, to chapter something like 15 or 16 of Exodus, you'll see her on the scene, and she leads a bunch of women after they come out of Egypt, and Moses writes a psalm back then, and she joins with a bunch of other women in celebrating. So anyway, we can see that she had a lot to do with she was present in the midst of all the things that were happening. And here she's the instigator, so to speak, against him because of this Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? So here's a question mark we're going to deal with in the next few chapters and really during this wilderness journey. Has the Lord indeed only spoken by Moses? Well, let's see what the Lord has to say about that. Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses, very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto that. I like that. The Lord spake suddenly unto them. He didn't give them a chance to, fiddle around and do something here. He immediately is going to stop, interrupt what's going on. The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and unto Miriam, come out thee three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." So that's everybody else. He says, "But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." The Lord didn't use these words the first few times he met with Moses. But you can see how Moses is maturing. "With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches." Now keep in mind this, the wilderness issue, you'll find this in the book of Hebrews, but when you get over into the New Testament and the Lord, God has been manifested in the flesh and he's walking upon this earth, I'm going to turn over to just real quickly to chapter 13 of Matthew. And this was a period of time that the Lord had stood in front of the people with many miracles and so forth. And the people began to, it was still because of their unbelief, the people began to bring forth problems. And so when we read in Matthew chapter 13, the first few verses, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went to a ship and sat." And am I in the wrong chapter? I don't believe so. "And he spake many things." Chapter 3. But he didn't stop there. He spake many things unto them in parables. So the point is here is the Lord is changing what he is doing to the people. When they stop believing, the Lord stopped speaking to them apparently and plainly, like we were reading over here of Moses. That was the problem in the wilderness also. So the one that the Lord chose to, the ones that the Lord chose to be, to speak for him, which were the 12, as well as other disciples that were associated with his teaching. If we get over to chapter 9, verse 10, we read this. After he gives this parable, he says here, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Well, that sounds like something that's going to backfire in your face here, because aren't you supposed to make it clear to them what you're speaking? "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the secret." It was not given to everybody who were Jews at that time, who looked for a Messiah, who looked for all the things that the prophets had spoke of, but were ignorant of the fact that the Messiah was right in their midst. He said it was not given to them, but to them it is not given. "For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." And then he speaks, he quotes a couple of scriptures out of Isaiah, which is very important when we read the three places that those scriptures are mentioned. So this is what we were confronted with during the wilderness journey. We're not told what year this was, how far into the journey it was, but it's his own sister and his own brother that speak against him. And so let's read on. Let me read again, verse 6. "And he said, Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, that I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak again? Therefore, then why are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord. Now he's going to respect Moses. Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, and this is an interesting way that this is put, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. Well, if you go back a few years, or just a little bit in time, and look in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, the first few verses, he deals with the leprosy issue. And if one had done something similar to what we see here, and all of a sudden they have leprosy, they were to go before the priest, and the priest would look at it and determine what it was, and if it was leprosy, they were to go outside the camp for 7 days. And so that basically that's what he's saying here. He's repeating something that was already given as part of the law. And Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. And I'm going to read a little bit more, because this next, I don't think we're going to do this today, because the next chapter gets a little bit longer. It's very important in understanding this, though, because now we're going to see some more resistance. And now we're going to see that the heads of the people that should be responsible are going to be put to the test, and their faith is going to be tested, and we're going to see what they do. I say that we'll see the same thing in the Gospels when the Lord walked in this earth, that there were Pharisees and Sadducees who were put in positions above the people, and they dishonored the word. And that's what is going to happen here. In the day of Paul, after he received the truth concerning the mystery, and that word was passed down, there were many who were anti-Paul. And in his last days, the apostasy had set in, and the times that he prophesied of were actually coming to be during that period of time. So let's just read a few verses here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto thee. So here we are. We're not in Canaan at this time. They're not in the promised land at this time. But he's going to send out some spies to look at the land. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. He states before they even pick the people, he says, I'm giving it to the people. So he passes that word on to Moses, and Moses passes it on to the people. And you're going to see the disrespect in it when we get through this whole picture here. Let's just read a few more verses and I'm going to stop. And Moses, by the commandment, of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So you're going to pick one out of every tribe, with the exception of Levi, And let's read on a little bit. He says, And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and those men were heads of the children of Israel. So these were rulers. They had a responsibility. We're going to find out that most of the people who lost their life during this time, during those 40 years, most of the people lost it because of these rulers and because they discouraged them. They did not listen and obey the words that were given and sent to them through Moses. And that word sent, as I said, is the word apostello. It's going to come up in chapter 14. And we're going to see the same process when we get into the gospel time, during the Lord on earth. They did not respect the one who was sent. The Lord Christ Jesus was sent. He was an apostle. Apostles meant that meant that they were sent with specific orders from God and a level of truth that no one else had. And then we'd see the same pattern with the Apostle Paul. So it's important. This little story here in the book of Numbers has a lot to do with other generations and dispensations. And so we'll just quickly read a few more here. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribe of, these were their names of the tribe of Reuben, Shamua. And by the way, we won't look at their names, but some of them have significant names here. Son of Zachor, the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. The tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. The tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. The tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun, that's Joshua. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rahu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gade, the son of Susi. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, and the son of Gamaliel. Of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Bakshi. Of the tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Joshua, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. So, just real briefly here, I put you through that torture of having to go through those names, because this whole thing began back in Exodus chapter 6, when the Lord chose out Moses and gave him specific instructions that he was to go before, him and Aaron were to go before the people. And in that particular chapter, there's some genealogy there, and I know genealogies are torturous. If you don't believe me, read the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles. And you're going to see genealogies here in the book of Numbers at the very beginning. And all of these names are there for a reason. And if you think about this, preserved for 4,000 years, or whatever it is, 3,500 years, these names have been protected and so forth. So that by the time you get to the New Testament, you're going to find out that probably the most important name, which was Christ himself, there was proof, absolute proof, that the Lord Jesus Christ came from the seed line of David and all the way back through Abraham. And there are 2 genealogies as we open the book of Matthew and as well as in the book of Luke. So these names may not sound very important to us, but certainly to God and what he has done through all these years, these people can prove something up into the time of Christ. And so I think I'm going to stop there. These are the men that are getting ready to go spy out the land. And I think this and chapter 16 are 2 of the major issues that really Israel has to deal with. There's going to be life lost as a result of it. We're going to see unfaithfulness, as we're going to see in the Gospels and the letters written by the Apostle Paul. About those people who, and remember, these people are not non-believers. These people have been redeemed. They came out of Egypt, and they had a knowledge of a lot of things that we find there just in the few chapters in Exodus when they came out of Egypt in the first portion of their journey before they received the law and before they built the tabernacle and so forth. So I'm going to stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. And then I'll let go of the microphone. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and not my words. We ask that you show us the things that we need to understand, particularly in our walk and in our journey. We ask that you remind us continually of how wonderful you are, how you care about every step and every breath we take. And thank you for this group of believers and for what we share in Christ. In the name of our Lord Christ Jesus, amen.